CFRC.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. For the 30th year in a row, downtown Kingston is releasing a new pewter collection celebrating the city's history with both long-standing and brand new landmarks. Each year, downtown Kingston releases a new limited edition ornament collection to add some Limestone City flair to holiday decorating. This year's lineup includes one of the original ornaments from 1994, two landmarks that Kingston said goodbye to in 2024, and two new ones. For the first time, one of the picks represents a brand new addition to the city this year, depicting the hip sign at Slush Puppy Place, an instantly iconic spot since its installment in October. The series launched today with the old train station, and a new ornament will be made available every Monday until December 16th. I sat down with Jan McDonald, Director of Events with the Downtown Kingston BIA, to chat about this year's releases. A lot of the pieces of the collection this year are part of Kingston's very recent history, especially concerning the LaSalle Causeway and the Wolf Islander 3. When were these decided upon?
So throughout the year, we get suggestions from people in the community, people who work downtown, and then we collect them all. And end of summer, when we're kind of wrapping up all of our summer activities, we start to look at the nominations that have been sent in and ideas that we have within our office as well. And then it gets narrowed down about the time of Labor Day weekend. It takes a little while to obviously come up with a collection and then put it together and then get them made into ornaments. So by about Labor Day, we know exactly what we're doing for that year.
And this is the 30th year this is being done. How do you feel being able to continue this longstanding tradition?
Well, it's always exciting, I think, every year. People love to collect them. We have a number of people who tell us that they haven't even opened the packages, that they felt it was such a collector's item that they've kept them at home in the original packaging, which is really fun. But then others have, you know, full trees that are covered in 30 years worth of ornaments. So it's a really nice nod to a way to celebrate the holiday season, to get people downtown shopping, because, of course, they have to purchase $25 worth of anything from downtown in order to purchase the ornament. So it's a win-win on so many levels.
And I was wondering if you could run through our ornaments this year and when they're coming out.
Sure. So the first ornament is released on Monday, and each ornament is released on a Monday, and this one's Monday, November 18th. It's the old train station, which is one of the first five that was released in 1994. It's been out of stock since 1995, I guess. And so we decided to do that one again. It's now the Visitor Information Center. It's had a number of different iterations, but it's been the Visitor Information Center for quite a while now. Secondly, November 25th is the building at 178 Ontario Street. It was the Frontenac Hotel for many, many decades, but has been a series of restaurants and bars, the Kokomo, Blue Martini, Brandy's. And it's actually a beautiful building in its own right. And I'm surprised we've never done it before, so happy to do that on the 25th. The 3rd and the 4th are both iconic fixtures of downtown Kingston area that no longer are in existence. The 3rd one on December 2nd is the Wolf Islander 3, which has been obviously replaced by Wolf Islander 4. So we're happy to bring that one back. And then the 4th, sadly, we lost the LaSalle Causeway this year. To commemorate that, on December 9th, we will be releasing the original LaSalle Causeway ornament that we did about a decade ago. And then we're ending with something brand new. We've actually never done something as part of the pewter collection that was original to Kingston that year. So this year we're doing December 16th, the new hip sign that's in front of the Slush Puppy Place. We wanted to honor that because it will, I think, become an iconic part of downtown Kingston, something that people will obviously want to share with their friends and family who were big fans of the hip. So that's the collection, as I said, November 18th and ending with the last one on December 16th. But they will be available for sale at the three outlets, the Slush Puppy Place box office, Grand Theater box office, and the Visitor Information Center right up until Christmas Eve.
Great stuff. And do you personally have a favorite from this year?
Oh, that's a tough question. I really like them all, but I'm very excited to do the hip sign. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a popular one this year, so I'd probably lean towards that.
Once again, that was Jan McDonald with Downtown Kingston on the 30th anniversary pewter collection. Ornaments will be made available each Monday at the Grand Theatre Box Office, the Leon Center Box Office, and the Visitor Information Center. This has been CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie with your headlines for this evening. Next up is student reporter Ali Al-Safadi with your campus news update.
Hello everyone, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter. Welcome to Today in YGK and to my segment. Today, we're diving into an extraordinary fusion of science and art with the launch of Drift, Art and Dark Matter. This exciting book showcases a unique collaboration that bridges physics and creative expression. Featuring an artist residency program where international artists engaged with scientists to explore the enigmatic world of dark matter. Joining us today are Zachary Kenny, one of the co-authors of this book and communications officer at the McDonald Institute, as well as Mark Richardson, manager of the education and public outreach at the McDonald Institute. This initiative also brings together the Agnes Etherington Art Center, the Public Library, and Queen's University, creating a platform to highlight how art and science can inspire one another. Now let's hear more about the program, the book, as well as the amazing collaborations that made this possible. Hello, thank you for joining me today. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Hi. Thanks, Ali. So I'm Zachary Kenny. I'm the communications officer at the McDonald Institute, which is the Arthur B. McDonald Canadian Astroparticle Physics Research Institute, based here at Queen's University. I come from a background of art and art education and science communication. And when I started at the Institute a number of years ago, I really wanted to do something with art and science. And so that's where sort of the seed of the Drift Artist Residency came from.
So I'm Mark Richardson. I'm the Manager for Education and Public Outreach here at the Arthur B. McDonald Canadian Astroparticle Physics Research Institute. And so my main job in working with Zach, for the most part, is really connecting with the scientists, the people that are doing the science, and getting them to connect with the public. So how do I find ways to take the work and the results and the achievements that we're getting across our community, across Canada, and share that with the public so that they understand and care about what we're achieving. Part of that too is to inspire and train kind of maybe the next generation of scientists and possibly astroparticle physicists.
Thank you, Zach and Mark. I truly find the connection and overlap between art and science to be extremely fascinating. Moving on, what is your role with the McDonald Institute and how was it involved in the production and the launch of this book?
Yeah, for sure. So my role in the McDonald Institute is really it's communications and marketing. So I work with my colleague Mark here to promote the events that we run through the Institute. A lot of public events, sharing the scientific progress and the science itself with the public, and also connecting with the research community, where the McDonald Institute is actually a national network. So we're partnered with 10 other universities. And so part of my role is connecting the people across those different universities, making sure that they know what's going on and know what's available to them in terms of programs and opportunities.
Thank you, Zach. What inspired you to lead the efforts in organizing this book launch as well as the creation of the book itself?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, I think science and art is such a fascinating crossover and really captures the imagination of a lot of people, because even if you don't know much about the science, you know that art is a visual experience. And so you know that you will be able to engage with it on some level. And it's always interesting to see how artists can approach a topic like something like dark matter, which is, invisible. We haven't detected it yet. We don't know exactly what it is. So to see how the artists were engaging with that content was just super exciting, and really was an opportunity for us to bring something completely unique to the public. We often will do science talks, right, where we have physicists telling the public about the research that we're doing, about the experiments, about the theories. But this was really a chance for us to engage with the public on, in a different way that was much more open and imaginative and creative, and really demonstrate and show people that that kind of engagement with science is something that is valid and really valuable for the community. For the physics community, for them, for the researchers to be able to see these really creative and imaginative ways about how their research is being interpreted or viewed, but also for the public to see that other side of things too.
That sounds truly interesting. Over to Mark. This book connects art and dark matter. My question to you is, how do you view dark matter as a physicist from an artist's perspective?
And so the question was about like how could maybe dark matter be conceptualized like from an artist's perspective, and the fun aspect about doing the artist residency is I do admit, especially the scientists had some ideas about what they expected would be captured in that process by the artists, and the experience that we had as a result was that in every way, I feel like it was a bit of a surprise. Like the way the artists engage with the ideas and the opportunity to speak with scientists and be in the research facilities, how that turned into art was very unique. And that's what's unique about art in the sense that like, it's not a recipe. It's not like follow the steps. It's really to each person to create with it what they will. Thinking about this, we actually had an event during the residency process where October 31st of every year, so it just passed for us now, is Dark Matter Day. And so at the time, we had what we called an Art of Dark Matter event, where we mailed art supplies to a bunch of people across Kingston and Ontario that wanted to engage with this idea as well. So they could be their own little mini artist residents. And so we actually, had a nice talk by Art McDonald, professor here at Queen's and Nobel laureate, and talking about dark matter. And then we just kind of had this free space to just hang out where everybody was creating art. And, what that looked like for most people, because of the materials that we provided, was mostly paintings. But some people got a little bit, think outside the box on that, making somewhat structure or physical materials as well. And so at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of different ways people could show that. And it's hard to kind of capture some of those ideas here from things like, ones that stand out for me was this idea that dark matter is this extra gravity, this extra weight in the universe. And so one artist just drew a picture of an icon of an inbox symbol with thousands of unread messages. And just that sentiment of invisible but yet dreaded weight. I'm feeling like, oh my God, I have so many messages to go through.
Thank you so much. Now, can you please elaborate more on the residency program itself and how this book ties into the program?
Yeah, so the book is basically the kind of the final product of the project itself, which started as the residency. So we partnered with the Agnes Etherington Art Center. The curator there, Sunny Kerr, had invited four artists from all over the world. We had an artist coming from Vancouver, from France, from the UK, two from France, actually. And so they came to Kingston, to Queens, and we, took them around Stirling Hall, through the physics labs there. So they got to see sort of the tabletop, prototype experiments that are being developed, here at Queens, and meet with the physicists here. And then we went up, to Snow Lab in Sudbury with them, where we went 2 kilometers underground at Snow Lab through the mines and, went through the clean lab there and saw the full scale operational, dark matter and neutrino experiments and detectors there. And then again, got to talk with the different people involved in those projects. And so it was really a unique experience for those artists to be able to, see those things in person, take pictures, take recordings, and then meet and talk and ask questions to the people who are doing that research. And then so after that was, you know, this period where the artists were back at their home studios creating art and, you know, coming up with ideas for what they were going to create. And we continued to have weekly meetings with all of the artists and arranged for all kinds of different people to, you know, to meet with them over Zoom. It was during the pandemic as well, to just continue those conversations, continue to ask the questions about the physics, and also have conversations that were not science related, not physics related, that were more focused on, you know, ethics or philosophy and those kinds of things. So the residence itself was quite diverse, and I think reflected in the artwork that was created. So that artwork was exhibited at the Agnes Etherington Art Center and also toured. So it went to the Belkin Gallery in Vancouver, went to Ottawa and then Toronto as well. So it was a national exhibition. And each of those locations also had, you know, their own special programming, their own unique events and things that they did with the exhibition. So there was really a lot of programming created around the project as well. Artist talks and different performances, those kinds of things. And then this book is kind of the collection of that whole experience. So it catalogs the artwork, you know, very beautiful documentation of the artwork in the exhibition, but also brings together a number of different voices that were involved in the project. So the artists who wrote about their experiences and the artwork, but then some essays from other people like Art MacDonald, who had a chance to meet with the artists when they were here and engage in the project in that way. So it's really kind of like the final chapter in this big culmination of the whole project.
And just something to add in there that I didn't hear you speak to, Zach, is along that whole process from the events happening at other sites, events that we ran, and then those meetings, it wasn't just, you know, engaging with the artists. It was also scientists were coming, dark matter scientists were coming into those spaces and engaging in those events. And so there, you know, it really was like a two-way exchange and bringing the artistic and philosophic ideas and sharing them with the scientists as well. So that maybe while we're bringing maybe the science into the practice of the artist, it's also bringing the art into the practice of the scientist.
A big thank you to Zach Kenny and Mark Richardson for sharing their incredible journey behind Drift, Art and Dark Matter. This book and the Artist Residency Program showcase the power of collaboration between art and science, offering new ways to understand and engage with the universe around us. If you want to learn more, check out the book launch happening at the downtown branch of the library hosted by the McDonald Institute, the Agnes Etherington Art Center, and the Public Library. As always, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's Campus News Reporter. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, CFRC listeners. I'm Isabella Garrido, your CFRC sports reporter, and you're tuned in to the CFRC Sports Desk, where we bring you the latest in Queen's athletics. Let's dive into this weekend's thrilling matchups. First up, the Queen's women's volleyball team pulled off an electrifying 5-set victory over the Waterloo Warriors on Saturday. After taking the first two sets with scores of 25-23, 25-13, the Gales faced a comeback challenge, dropping the third and fourth sets. But they regrouped in the fifth, sealing the win with determination. Amanda Sixna from the Faculty of Education was a stand-up performer, racking up 14 points, including 8 kills, 5 blocks, and 2 aces. Coach Shanice Marcel praised the team's ability to reset and bring the fire when it mattered the most. With this win, the Gales improved their season record to 7-1 and sit second in the OUA standings. They'll hit the road next weekend to face the York Lions, so stay tuned to OUA.tv for updates. Meanwhile, the Queen's men's hockey team returned to form with a dramatic 2-1 overtime win against the York Lions. Nolan Hutchinson, currently tied for second in U Sports for goals, scored the game-winning goal 4 minutes into overtime. The Gales also had stellar contributions from Liam Tanner, who tied the game in second period with help from Derek Hamilton and Lucas Perrick, and goalie Aiden Spooner, who made 29 saves on the first night. Queens dominated in shots on goal, putting up 48 against York. With this win, they now hold a 10-3 record and are tied for second in the OUA East Division standings. And finally, Queens women's basketball continued their winning streak with a 57-42 victory over Laurier, marking their fourth consecutive win. Allie Smith and Ella Take led the charge in a game where the Gales outpaced the Golden Hawks with a dominant 22-point fourth quarter. This keeps them third in the OUA East standings, just behind the Ottawa Gigis. Catch them next Sunday, November 22nd, at the Arc. And that's your sports roundup for today. This has been Isabella Garrido with your CFRC Sports Desk. Now back to Christina Laurie with your evening weather report. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Isabella. Now for our CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting partly cloudy skies with a low of 0. Tomorrow, on Tuesday, November 19th, we're expecting mainly cloudy skies with a high of 9 degrees. Tuesday night, we'll have cloudy periods and a low of plus 2. On Wednesday, November 20th, we have a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 8 degrees. Then Wednesday night, cloudy skies with a 70% chance of rain and a low of plus 4. On Thursday, November 21st, we're expecting periods of rain to continue with a high of 7 degrees. Then Thursday night, more rain with a low of plus 2. On Friday and headed into the weekend, we're expecting those showers to continue with a 40% chance of showers and cloudy skies throughout Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That wraps up your weather report for this evening. And next up is Jessie Bell with your CFRC Weekly Traffic Report.
This is Jessie Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, November 18th, 2024. The following road closures will be taking place on Saturday, November 23rd for the annual Nighttime Santa Claus Parade and Tree Lighting Ceremony. Market Street, Ontario to King will be closed from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. King Street, Brock to Clarence will be closed from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Princess Street, Sir John A. Macdonald to Ontario is closed from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Road closures. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Princess 2, 486 Albert is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction at 484 Albert Street. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood will be closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert will be closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed for construction related to the Queens J-Duck. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that concludes the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, November 18th, 2024. This is your events calendar for the week. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out via cfrc.ca today. On Monday, November 18th, the Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch is hosting a free craft and makerspace session from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Also on Monday, folks can head out from 5:25 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the Loggers and Joggers at Riverhead Brewing Company. Be sure to dress for current jogging weather. The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will host their weekly trivia games as well, starting at 7 p.m. and 7:45 p.m. respectively. On Tuesday, November 19th, Addiction and Mental Health Services KFLA is hosting a music and mental health drop-in group where folks can bring instruments and make new friends. 552 Princess Street from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Friendship Blooms Craft Group is running an intergenerational craft session from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Kingston Community Health Centers on Weller Avenue. The Faculty of Arts and Science is hosting an event for folks interested in going to grad school at Career Services in Gordon Hall on the third floor from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. This run is for all ages and abilities. Also on Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., there is a newcomers men's group hosted by Immigrant Services Kingston and Area, where newcomer men can meet other newcomers at 837 Princess Street. Daft Brewing is also hosting a euchre night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, November 20th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up, featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. Muziki Cafe is also hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 to participate in uninstructed life drawings and make some new friends while you're at it. The Grad Club is hosting Be Kind Rewind Drag Celebration of the 90s, featuring performances from some of your favorite local drag entertainers, as well as music videos. Show off your knowledge with 90s trivia and your footbag skills with a hacky sack contest. The fun starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $12. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m. Daft Brewing will also host Drag Bingo with Rowena Way starting at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, November 21st, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also head out Thursday to Kingston Community Health Centers, which will host the weekly Penguins Seniors Social Group for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Immigrant Services Kingston and Area will also host its Intermediate English Circle for folks seeking to enhance their fluency and vocabulary. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2SLGBTQ plus runners, ready to run at 6:15 for a 5 to 6 kilometer run, followed by a post-run social. A comedy of drag errors takes place with host Rowena Way, alongside guest performances including Tiffany Morgan, Blow Pony, Street Meat, and out-of-town guest Jordana Miles. The show starts at 7 p.m. at the Broom Factory. You can also head over to Daft Brewing for Queerioke starting at 8 p.m. There is a $5 cover charge. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, November 22nd, the YMCA will host its weekly fresh food market from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Bonnie and Clyde the Musical debuts and will run 10 performances at Theatre Sesame in the Centre Culturel Frontenac, 1290 Wheat Hill, behind the RioCan Center. Showtime start at 7:30 p.m. and general admission is $35. On Saturday, November 23rd, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, McKinnon Brothers Brewing in Bath is hosting its annual holiday market with over 50 vendors selling artisanal crafts. You can also head out for another craft and bake sale being held from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Royal Kingston Curling Club. On Sunday, November 24th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. The Kingston Symphony Volunteers All Things Christmas Gifts and Art Sale is also taking place at the Kingston Symphony Warehouse, 785 Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., with proceeds supporting the Kingston Symphony. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. That's all for this week's events calendar. If you have an event you'd like covered, reach out via cfrc.ca, and don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRC Music.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What Will I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What Will I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What Will I Wear.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Cuban Sounds in Canada. I'm Karen Dubinsky. Trumpeter Alexis Barreau is an extremely versatile Toronto-based musician. Like many, he went through the Cuban music education system in Havana. As a student, he began touring with Omora Portuando's band, one of the pillars of the Buena Vista Social Club. This brought him to Toronto in 1998. He returned in 2001 and hasn't looked back. Perhaps because of his training and vast performance experience in Cuba, Alexis incorporated himself into a wide range of Canadian bands as he settled into Toronto. He has played with R&B bands, soul, funk, jazz, as well as all varieties of Latin American and Cuban music. His latest CD was released in 2022. Titled Mi Raíz, My Roots, it's dedicated to Cuban trumpeters around the world. Here's one example of this amazing sound. It's a track called Tan Lejos, So Far. Evaristo Machado is another veteran Cuban-Canadian musician. He's been in Toronto since 1997. He trained as a vocalist in Havana music schools and later spent several years as a singer and dancer with the famed Tropicana nightclub. As part of the Tropicana company, he toured around the world. He's had a solo career in Toronto, and he has two CDs. Here's a cut from his CD, Siempre Que Llueve, which comes from the popular Cuban expression, after the rain comes sun. This is the title track, which also features the Cuban rapper Talmari, who has also lived and worked in Toronto. In fact, we'll hear from her next.
Una nube en tu bolsillo, una cruz en tu cabeza. Busca tu galaxia, loco, and don't give up, and don't give up, and don't give up. Siempre, siempre que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve escampa.
Que llueve, que llueve.
Siempre,
siempre.
Que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve escampa. Hey, yeah.
Siempre que llueve escampa.
Yo sé que la vida es dura y que a veces muerde el alma. Que no pedimos nacer con la pobreza en la cara. Yo sé que el camino es largo, de espinas y rosas se habla. Cuesta trabajo entender que solo el amor te salva, te salva.
Siempre,
siempre que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve escampa.
Que llueve, que llueve.
Siempre,
siempre
que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve.
Si el dinero está al revés, si la puerta está cerrada, si tu árbol nació torcido y su tronco no endereza, si el destino y el tarot andan jugando en tus alas, tus alas.
So long, but not so long. We are gonna leave a message around. We are gonna leave this now. We are gonna leave a message around. We are gonna leave this now. Believe me, we must go and tell you the world is just around, you know. Nothing is gonna put me down. It's just the day before we plan to go so far. And here we are feeling inside. The opportunity is a big sacrifice. Este año pedí que mis sueños fluyeran. Este año pedí olvidar todas las penas. Este año pedí no tener más frontera. Avanzar por el mundo sin tanta querella. Este año que viene, o el otro cualquiera. Ciudadana del planeta Tierra sin tanta querella.
Tómate un café con Dios, cuéntale tu verdad. Con tu corazón en tierra, que no se apague tu voz, busca tu humanidad. Héroe de tu misma guerra.
Siempre,
siempre que llueve escampa.
Siempre que llueve.
After the rain comes on, after the sun comes rain. After the rain comes on, after the sun comes rain.
Este año pedí que mis sueños fluyeran. Este año pedí no tener más fronteras. Si de mi isla se me abrió el camino, si tú puedes abrirlo también. Todo nos toca ganar o perder.
Siempre que
Tamari Diaz is a force of nature, one of Cuba's premier rappers. When she started out in the 1990s, she was one of the rare women in the Cuban hip-hop world. In Havana, she was an early member of the jazz fusion group Interactivo, and she's lived in Toronto on and off since 2006. This is from her first CD, A Diario. It was recorded in Havana and was released in Canada in 2012 in the CD that Toronto's Lula Lounge put out to highlight the wealth of Latin music talent in that city. Que Equivocao has become a Cuban feminist anthem. It's Talmari's lament for all of the equivocados, or wrong, boyfriends who annoy their women. When she performs this in Cuba, the women in the audience sing along at the top of their lungs.
Palo que de buena coraza me ha amado. No es solo el secreto de darse completo a las manos del tiempo, a la altura del verbo, están los canales abiertos, pero mira atentos. Se confunden los verbos, se alteran los sueños, invaden espacios que no lo sabemos. No mientan, no mientan, me asustan los cuentos. A veces olvidamos los buenos momentos y dejamos colgados nuestros sentimientos. Prefiere que espere, que cocine, que fríe, que pase son las mujeres. Fui tu nena, rapera, tu asusto, embeleso. Y tú con tu socio maltratando el cuerpo. Y tú con tu socio maltratando el cuerpo. Y tú con tu socio gastando el dinero. Qué equivocado.
Qué equivocado que estás de la vida, mi amor. Qué equivocado. Qué equivocado que estás de la vida, mi amor. Qué equivocado.
Qué desesperado.
Qué desespero traerá.
Qué le habrá pasado ser moral, tanto no regresar.
Qué desespero traerá.
Aquí se habrá enganchado, vendrá claro, puro, vendrá rebajado. A mí me ha dado. Niño, tú sabes manejar, arranca y vete. Te has equivocado de lado a lado. Mal acostumbrado. Requete mal acostumbrado. Tú estás mirando a esta mulata. A esta estrella que se te ha posado. Recoge y vete, desgraciado. Hijo de Dios. A mí que quererme como una reina. Hay que tratarme. Díselo.
El desespero.
David Buckbinder is a Toronto-based jazz trumpet player. In 2009, he began a collaboration with Cuban pianist Hilario Duran, who we've heard here before, on a truly multicultural collaboration, which includes 8 musicians in total. The CD, titled Odessa Havana, merges Jewish and Afro-Cuban sounds. Here's Rumba Judia, Jewish rumba. Let's end with a trip to Montreal. Alex Bellegarde is a Montreal fixture, a bass player who's been active in the Montreal jazz world for decades. He's among the most Cuban-adjacent musicians in Canada. He has held down a weekly, regular Latin jazz night at Diez Once, a Saint-Denis Street jazz bar, for over 20 years. These days, the rest of the band on Mondays are an amazing mix of Cuban musicians. We spoke to Alex and a number of his Cuban bandmates about the thriving Cuban jazz scene in Montreal in a recent episode of Cuban Serenade. Check it out if you want to learn why Mondays are the best night to be in Montreal. Here's an earlier version of Alex's Latin jazz sound from his 2006 disc Caminando. This is titled Timbatune.
Thank you.
hope you enjoyed this episode. Here's a prayer from Tamari.
Na mi ringita la banda, mamá mi sueño y comunico, chihuayu como mago y hijo dará, claro, oye.
Lunes de siempre día de legua, a que pediré lo mejor para ti, que te proteja, que nos proteja, nos dé salud, desenvolvimiento y mira, prosperidad, papá legua, tú que abres los caminos, abre puente de sus ojos hasta los míos, yo canto pa' que tu H traiga lo mío primero, se siente quien no entiende, toco duro el cuero, te invoco con tu acento, pa' dentro, papá legua, ábreme camino a mí que tú sí sabes de macumba, mira mi rumba tumba, mira mi chino, te tengo en todo, te tengo en número, jóvenes somos, vamos a ver. Ya lo sé, que tiras detrás de culo, mulato, que guti, que trabaja, anda. Vamos a formarla como es. Yo tengo calo, yoruba, tú tienes menos 10. Estoy que quemo a cualquiera, lo que quiero es quemarle usted. O los de madre, Dios grande, sabe bien que todo va bien. Te quiero, no te hagas loco, oíste, que para lo que yo sí te quiero. Papá le gua, te lo digo a ti también. H para la raíz de todos los míos. H para mí, H para usted, qué cosa buena yo encontré.
Hágale, le cupache a Gómez con.
Pa' adentro, vamos a buscar respuesta al universo. Pa' adentro, la fuerza, lavar la cama, los ancestros. Pa' adentro, camina pa' que veas la verdad, camínala. Pido esconder las armas, dame una tregua y legua. Pa' que se una toda la tribu de mi tierra y más allá. Pa' que sea un solo canto de hermandad y prosperidad. Que la música nos guíe, nos dé la libertad. Pa' que la Che siempre sostenga esta fuerza que me da. Busquemos manera de curar esta humanidad. Porque no pare mi ver, porque brote la espontaneidad. Que nuestros hijos crezcan con amor y tranquilidad. Que nos demos más natura, sabiduría y espiritualidad. Papá le cuano, quiero frontera, one love. One love, one heart. Pa' dentro, pa' salvar este planeta que tanto hemos destruido. Abre puentes de sus ojos hasta los míos.